Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for the business. As you know, I'm broadcasting live from New York City and having a great time up here. I'm excited about having Nora Claver back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Nora is a member of our Brain Trust. She's the author of Mayday, Asking for Help in Times of Need. She's a leadership expert. She helps people like you and me put our best foot forward, not only in the marketplace, but even before that, with our employees, with our organizations, to making sure that our leadership style, our techniques are being productive, are being effective. You know, maybe mine's different from yours. Yours doesn't have to be like mine, but they all have to be effective. Otherwise, we don't succeed. Right, Nora?
Absolutely.
Welcome back. It's good to have you back.
Thank you very much. I love being here.
Decision-making is a really interesting thing that's different about everybody, isn't it? I mean, it's just like I think, you know, we all have different fingerprints. We all approach decision making a little bit differently. How do you help leaders come up with a system that where you don't have to have a million different ways to explain how to make decisions?
Right. Well, you know, we do it differently, but then there are some things that we still have in common as we work on it. So, you know, I think when we're all young, we all learn that one technique about making two columns on a piece of paper and listing the pros and listing the cons.
I used to call that the Benjamin Franklin approach. You know, that
right.
Was,
is that what they, you used in, to do?
In selling, they call that the Benjamin Franklin close. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, that's great. So Ben was a smart man, but it's a little limiting. And I think people understand that when it comes to the really important decisions, the really big ones, that it's inadequate, that you have to use a different approach.
And so the pros and the cons, folks, if you don't know, is where you make a T, right? You make a horizontal line and a vertical line in the middle of the page, and you write down all the good things and all on one side of the line and all the bad things on the other side of the line. And you could almost do the math sometimes, can't you? Just add them up.
Yeah, sometimes.
Now, that's the elementary approach to decision-making, right?
That's right. And we're going to talk about the graduate-level approach.
There you go. All right. So, folks, if the pros and the cons method that you're using doesn't quite get it, if it's limiting, as Nora says, and I agree with her, Nora, you got a new plan for us.
Yeah. And I think it works for most people, but it does take a little bit of practice to get really good at it. And the first step really is about quieting the internal noise in our heads. And if you're a leader in an organization, or if you have your own business, or if you're working with someone who has their own business, you really struggle with that sometimes. Mm-hmm. But it is the very first step. There are so many inputs all the time, so many bits of data that's floating around in our heads, so many different perspectives.
Especially small business owners.
Yeah. Well, we have so many options now, too. It's great. Mm-hmm. And it's also a burden.
Right. It is. How do you quiet that? How do you get that to that place that you're talking about?
Well, you know, it's so funny because I think people do this automatically and they think that it's really tough. If you tap into what you typically do, it makes it a lot easier. So I don't know, Jim. Do you have a lawn?
Yeah, I do. At least one.
You do have at least one lawn. Okay, so that's great. And so, do you ever mow that lawn?
I have in the past.
Okay.
You're getting, I used to mow my lawn, but you know, now I have people who do that for me. Now.
Okay, great. Well, if a lot of people still mow their own lawns, and people find it actually kind of hypnotic, you know, going this way and that way and up and down. And that kind of hypnotic, repetitive action is what really helps us quiet our minds.
Well, see, I try to help out the economy, so I hire a contractor to do that. But see, I do that. What you're talking about, I find that in cooking.
Right, exactly.
That's how I get to that. Maybe that quiet place is by cooking.
Right. So everybody does it in a different way. Some people do it mowing the lawn. Cooking's a great idea. A lot of people go running or
using my remote control too. I do it with sometimes just using my remote control.
Yeah, that might not be the best way.
My wife doesn't like it when I do that, but that's
right,
what I do.
Exactly. Can be a little annoying, but
yeah, that's what she says. She says it all the time. But so what you're saying is kind of getting out of the normal mode. What is the result of that?
Well, what it does is it kind of clears your mind. You end up really having to focus on an activity that is not the decision you're worrying about.
Mm-hmm.
So because you're leaving the decision alone, it allows the internal structures in your brain to actually do the work, the subconscious work that needs to be done for the decision to be made.
You know, sometimes it might just be, in my case, there are times when at lunch, I don't really need to leave for lunch. Maybe, you know, I'm not hungry or whatever. I still leave the building because I've been there a long time already by lunchtime, and it's good for me to get to be in a different place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a perfect way of quieting. Just shifting where you are, sometimes it's just about shifting your posture. So if you're sitting down and you've been doing that a while, stand up, walk around. You know, if you have
what does this do? Does this allow you to come back and use your old method of decision making, or is this something that actually opens up the opportunity for new ideas to come in? What does it do?
It actually does both. It does open up your mind so that there's plenty of room for the clear thoughts to come through, for you to let go of all the noise that's in your head.
Right.
And it really helps you just narrow that focus again rather than getting distracted. And I think one of the other things to really remember, too, is if it's a really important decision, what you want to do is really limit the input that you get from other people while you're making that decision.
Do you like meditating and breathing techniques? You think that's a good idea?
I love that. I use that quite a bit, but it seems a little foreign to people still.
Sometimes it's a little touchy-feely for some people. We'll come back, folks. I'm going to ask, I've got another idea I want to ask Nora. We'll talk about that right after these messages. It's 20 after. Nora Claver is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. There's the bird bringing us back. Great song based on a passage in Ecclesiastes. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Hope you'll check that out and use it to your advantage. Both websites are designed for you. The first one is where you can find the show and all the other things we do here, smallbusinessadvocate.com, and, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz. We can get small business answers now. Don't forget to put the .biz on the end there. Nora Claver is our guest. She's the author of Mayday, Asking for Help in Times of Need. Nora, tell us how we can find you and your book.
You can find me at maydaythebook.com. Or if you want to hear about my speaking engagements and the things I can do with your company, you can go to mnoraclaver.com.
And that's Claver with a K, like you
Claver
think it would
with
be
a
spelled.
K.
Yep. Nora, give us an idea about what you do for companies.
Well, I'm usually hired by a sponsor within the organization. It's not always the HR department. In fact, it's rarely the HR department. Currently, one of the big groups I'm working with is an IT department at a large financial exchange service.
You're hired by people who are feeling pain.
Yeah, they are, either themselves personally or within their teams.
Yeah, they see that their 8-cylinder engine is only hitting on 4 cylinders.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So you help them get organized and communicate with each other better and come up with processes that management organizational processes that not only work practically, but they work from a human side.
That's right. And it's the human side that always seems to get in the way, you notice?
Well, you know the problem with humanity, don't you, Nora?
What's
it's the
that?
Humans.
Yeah.
It's the humans.
Exactly.
I want to get back to this decision making thing. One of the things that I learned a while back has really made a big difference to me, Nora. I want to see what you think about this. I was told by one of our brain experts, we have a couple of those in our brain trust, that when you wake up in the morning, the left side of your brain it stays asleep for a while, and the right side of your brain actually wakes up with you. That's the creative side, the right side. The left side is your logical side.
Yeah.
And so I was told that when you wake up, you've got maybe 30, 45 minutes before the left side wakes up. And so take time with that to sort of let those ideas, let the wacky, crazy, creative ideas roll out and before the left side wakes up and says, "Are you nuts? You can't do that." And I have done that, and I get some of my best ideas. I make some of my best decisions in the shower in the morning. What do you think?
I think that's absolutely true. There is no doubt about that.
So that's kind of one of my quiet times.
Yeah, and that's why so many ideas come in the shower. You know, I think around the shower time is actually when the left side starts waking up a little bit too.
Yeah. Yeah,
because
yeah.
And when you have both of those pieces together, but you've allowed the creative side time to breathe, so to speak,
right?
That's when things really start falling into place.
Because sometimes the right side, the creative side, is a little passive, and the left side, the engineer side, is a little more aggressive and dominant. And that's the one that says the left side is the one that says, "Whoa, big fella, you got to screw everything up here. You can't do that."
Right. Well, you know, and we kind of beat down that right side. We don't always appreciate the creative aspects of who we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, people do think that's a little too touchy feely, and it's amazing stuff.
You know? Another thing I think, I wonder if people do this in the decision. My wife says that I go to a happy place sometimes. We'll be eating a meal or something, and I'll just kind of wander off somewhere. She says, "Where did you go? Are you back?" and I think that may be my subconscious way of unplugging from all the things that are going on.
Right. You know, we do find simple ways of doing that, and people daydream still. It's a wonderful thing to do. And we need to do as much of it as we can, because that's where some of the great ideas come from.
But what you got to do, though, I think what I hear you saying is, pay attention to those things, and try to catalog and use those times to help you make decisions.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That you couldn't have said it better. It's exactly what we need to do.
And so don't, in other words, don't just think of those times as times away from, when you come out of those little trances or whatever, I think that I go into, how do you use that to your advantage?
Well, first of all, there's a little story that Peter Drucker used to tell, and he would be in Japan and he would see a Japanese executive sitting at his desk quietly doing nothing. And if you were Japanese, you knew never to disturb that person who is doing nothing. If we see somebody doing nothing in the States, you know, they're sitting at their desk, they get their feet up.
We think they need to be fired, don't we?
Yeah. Or they need to be bothered at a very minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're not doing anything. We can go in and bother them. But the difference is that, at least to his experience, the Japanese really appreciated that quiet time.
Mm-hmm. I think I do. I agree. I think the United States needs to have more quiet time. Small business owners, think about that. Give your managers, let your people meditate a little bit. Hey, Nora, give us that website again, please, quickly.
Sure. It's maydaythebook.com or mnoraclaver.com.
Thanks, Nora. Good job today. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Jim. Bye-bye.
Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.